It's the Augusta Free Press, and it's on the air. From our studios in downtown Waynesboro, it's the Augusta Free Press Show.
Welcome into the Augusta Free Press Show. I'm Chris Graham. I'll be joined a little later by Crystal Graham. A couple of segments, the morning edition, which we do each week here. And he said, she said, sort of a new segment for us here on the Augusta Free Press Show. We've done it intermittently in the past. It's going to be a regular feature here now as we move into the fall season. Busy show this week, as always. Lutheran Family Services will be represented. A couple of folks there from the Harrisonburg office talking about the variety of things that Lutheran Family Services does in the Valley and in Central Virginia as well. Also talking this week with Brent Johnson from the Daily News Record in Harrisonburg. Brent is a staff writer. We're going to talk with him about the Duke Dog incident at last weekend's JMU football game with Coastal Carolina. Big win for the Dukes. The Duke Dog didn't do so well there on the sideline. So we'll talk with Brent to get some updates there on the situation involving the Duke Dog. And also, they're joining us, Emmett Hanger, the third and final in our series of interviews with candidates for the 24th Senate District seat in the Virginia General Assembly. Emmett is the incumbent senator. We've already had David Cox and Aaron Simon to talk about their challenges to Emmett. And Emmett will be on this week to talk about the issues in that race. And, of course, got to remind you here, well, since we have the opportunity, we're going to have a forum. The Augusta Free Press and New Dominion are co-sponsoring a candidates forum October 22nd. At Westwood Hills Elementary School in Waynesboro. More information about that on the website, AugustaFreePress.com. But we'll have Emmett on to talk about some stuff, get you kind of prepared for that a little bit if we can. So, and again, the He Said, She Said this week we'll be discussing a column that I wrote. Crystal Graham and I will be discussing a column that I wrote on the Augusta Free Press website last week, looking at an incident at the Augusta County Recreation Center that we were both sort of a part of in a way, involving, racial incidents in America, and you don't want to think they're in your backyard, but this column suggested they are. And the morning edition, of course, our review of the big stories of the week in the area. Lots to come, so please stay here with us.
We want to know what you're thinking. Comment on stories, vote in our polls, get the discussion started. The Augusta Free Press, AugustaFreePress.com. Bring a splash of color to your home for fall. Home Innovations has beautiful Millmont moms right here in Fishersville. Come on by, mention this podcast, and get a free mom when you register for our HomeSense newsletter with helpful information for your home. As a bonus, you'll be registered to win $200 in free furnishings. Home Innovations, located on Route 250 in Fishersville, across from the library. Want to know what's going on? Check out our calendar of events and get the complete rundown. The Augusta Free Press, www.augustafreepress.com.
Joining us now on the Augusta Free Press Show is Emmett Hanger. Emmett is the incumbent senator in the 24th Senate District running for re-election this November. And Emmett, got to ask you, you've been at this for a while. Why are you out there running again?
That's a good question, Chris. Sometimes I wonder about that. I've been involved in community service in one way or another for a long time, and of course I've been in the Senate now. This year will complete 12 years for me, three terms, and I think I have I'm kind of vested in it at this point in terms of having some background experience and being in a position I think to do some things that will be very beneficial not only for my part of the state, but also for the state in general. I'm in the leadership now, and I think positioned well to help in the overall direction or leadership for the state. So it's something that I don't just do automatically. It's something I have to think through the process. But I'm committed to it now. I want to continue the work that I'm involved with, and I have a number of projects or items of unfinished business to address.
Talking with Emmett Hanger here on the Augusta Free Press Show, and one issue that's come up a lot, and I think I've talked to you since the driver fees issue came up with people noticing, I guess, late June that these fees were out there. We see online petitions with hundreds of thousands of signatures asking the General Assembly to repeal. Want to get your thoughts on that, just on how the issues come up and what you think needs to be done, if anything, to address the people's concerns about this.
Well, I think overall we need to continue to address the transportation funding issues and our transportation programs. And of course, the abusive driver fees were one small component of that overall program. And quite frankly, I've shared previously, I did not think that the abuser fees were a good way to address raising revenue for transportation, and I voted against it and spoke fairly aggressively against the concept. It had been floated out for 2 or 3 years as a possibility of raising money in that manner, and I felt it was an inappropriate way. And as it turned out, it has some shortcomings that really weren't on the radar when it was going through the legislature. So at a minimum, we're going to need to revisit it and make some changes. There are some, and I'm one of those at this point in time, would think that it's still an inappropriate way to raise money for transportation, and we probably should just repeal that portion of the Transportation Act.
Talking with Emmett Hanger here on the Augusta Free Press Show, and would there be any need to address the money that will be lost there? I think it's estimated $60 to $65 million a year that could be raised by these fees. Is there anything we need to do there to address that specifically? Of course, I also know that we need to look at other transportation funding needs too. So there's a bigger picture here too.
Right, and it is a bit a bigger picture, and I think it's probably a bit early to begin to make decisions about whether or not that would need to be replaced. Clearly, when we were looking at as large a package as we were looking at, the $50-55 million is a relatively small amount. I'm not saying that it's insignificant, but it's a relatively small amount. Larger than that, of course, is the fact that it was part of the package we were proposing, or the bill proposed, to borrow $3 billion in bonds with a significant amount of the repayment or debt service on those bonds to come from traditional general fund resources. So particularly in a climate where we're looking at a tightening budget, we may have to revisit that as well. And there are a couple other parts of it that would leave a gap in the funding needs even further, specifically in the packages for Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads. There were provisions that would have placed sales tax on services for the first time in Virginia's history, and I thought that was inappropriate. It would place sales tax on automobile repair services in those two regions, and certainly I consider that a bad precedent and would hope that as we revisit this, we can change that as well.
Talking with Emmett Hanger here on the Augusta Free Press Show. Good segue maybe to talk about those state budget issues. The governor last month in a speech to members of the money committees in the General Assembly, noting, of course, right now we're in a current situation with a budget shortfall this fiscal year, the past fiscal year. He was even looking ahead to next year and suggesting that there might be some issues with, for example, education funding, transportation funding. Where are we right now? Do we need to maybe revisit even that bigger picture of overall state funding for those core needs that we all expect to just be there for us?
Certainly, for those that will be in Richmond in January and February of this year for the long session, it's a year where the governor will be enacting a full 2-year budget as well as adjustments to the current budget that we're in. And I think everything has to be on the table. There obviously is concern because the revenues are coming in slightly below the original estimates. But we have to keep in mind, and I think we all were aware that there perhaps would be some tightening. We look back last fall, and even the year before we were looking, I was involved with a national group that was looking at this phenomenon from a national basis where housing sales in particular were beginning to slow, and as a result of that, sales tax collections were beginning to slow. And so we've seen that come about here in Virginia, and where we're at right now, it's not really that bad a situation. Our budget was built on expectations of revenue increase or growth in the range of about 6%. What we're experiencing is about 1.5% less than that, or about 4 to 4.5% growth. So we're still experiencing positive growth. So I think certainly belt tightening is in order for our first step, and then to evaluate if the condition worsens, then there are other things that may be necessary. But we depend on growth, and if you look back over the last 20, 25 years, you'll find that on average, the state budget has grown roughly 5% per year, and that is pretty much where the bare minimum that we can expect that, particularly in this next year, as we look at re-benchmarking the state's effort for support of K-12 education, we'll find that there are significant needs there where we'll have to have some positive growth in the economy in order to support that re-benchmarking.
One more question, Emmett, and then we'll let you go. We're talking with Emmett Hanger here on the Augusta Free Press Show. The issue of illegal immigration has really been not as much here in our area in the 24th District, but certainly we're hearing Northern Virginia localities, we're seeing them issue resolutions wanting to study the effect of illegal immigration on their communities. We've even seen GOP leaders in Richmond unveil proposals for this. I want to get your thoughts. I know you've been working in this field, on this particularly on an issue related to qualifications for immigrants to Virginia four-year colleges. Just want to get your thoughts on how this issue is being addressed here in the district.
Well, you know, there's a lot of frustration with the lack of initiative at the federal government level as far as dealing with illegal immigration and immigration in general. And it's certainly something that is an issue not only throughout Virginia, but throughout the nation. Here in the western part of Virginia, particularly in the Valley, where we've been we've benefited tremendously, I guess, from legal immigration and from people who have and continue to assimilate into our area. And quite frankly, because of the fact that we have such a low level of unemployment here and our farm economies, forest economies, and construction economies are somewhat booming. Still currently, we need those individuals to do the work, legal immigration and people who come here under work permits. Problem, of course, exists that there are two facets of it. One, there is a steady stream of illegal immigrants that should be isolated and pulled out, sent back to wherever they came from, or incarcerated there. They are here. They're disrupting things. They're a part of the drug culture, gangs, and that actually is a small segment. Most of the people that are finding their way here to the Valley are interested in you know, assimilating into the American experience and being a part of our economy. It's just a matter of how they can do it in a legal way. And they're looking at the federal government. We find that, just one small example. The processing and the bureaucracy at the federal level is so convoluted. Like individuals that are here under a valid worker's permit, as an example, are not allowed to renew that permit until it's within 90 days of expiring. Well, it takes a whole lot longer than 90 days for the federal government to renew those permits. So just because of the slowness and the inefficiencies in the bureaucracy, you'll find that there are people here then illegally because they're not able to renew their workers' permits in a timely manner. And that's just one aspect of it that we're dealing with. We also have some convoluted guidelines or rules and regulations that come down to us from the federal government. One has to do with the fact that when children are here that are not born here but rather come over with their parents, they can enter our school systems, and we're not allowed to know whether they're here legally or not. That's something that should be changed, and I'm hoping that we can challenge the federal. In fact, there's a Supreme Court ruling on that. I'm hoping we can challenge that, not to be punitive to these youngsters, but rather to be able to assist them in becoming legal if that's the issue, because in many instances they have brothers and sisters that are legal because they happen to be born here after their parents crossed the border.
Yeah, multifaceted issue, obviously, there. So a lot of work to be done still there, too. Well, Emmett, thanks for your time today. And I want to note that October 22nd, I think it is, our forum, you're going to be there as part of a candidates forum in Waynesboro, Westwood Hills Elementary School, talking about issues, including these and others, with David Cox and Aaron Simon. So thanks for being a part of that.
You bet.
And thanks for your time today. Great talking with you. Emmett Hanger.
You can't tell the players without a scorecard. Elections 2007, your one-stop shop for this year's elections. Bring a splash of color to your home for fall. Home Innovations has beautiful Millmont moms right here in Fishersville. Come on by, mention this podcast, and get a free mom when you register for our HomeSense newsletter with helpful information for your home. As a bonus, you'll be registered to win $200 in free furnishings. Home Innovations, located on Route 250 in Fishersville, across from the library.
University of Virginia basketball has moved across the street, but U-Haul lore lives on. Mad About You, 4 decades of basketball at University Hall, an inside look at UVA basketball. More information at madaboutyou.net. Madaboutyou.net. Get your copy today.
The place to go to find local news and views. Our news and blogs link at AugustaFreePress.com.
Joining us now on the Augusta Free Press show is a couple of people, actually. We have Paula Harmon and Brooke Rogers from Lutheran Family Services of the Valley, and we're going to be talking a little bit about what Lutheran Family Services does here in the Valley, extended part of the Shenandoah Valley. Paula and Brooke, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I'll throw this question out to Brooke first. Brooke's the program director there at Lutheran Family Services in the Harrisonburg office here that covers the Valley. Let's talk a little bit about what Lutheran Family Services does here in the Valley area.
The program that Lutheran Family Services does here and throughout the state of Virginia, because we have five other offices located in the state, there are two basic areas, I would say. One is adoption, and that is we do adoption with the waiting child list here in Virginia. We also do home studies and post-placement services for international and domestic adoption. And then, on the other aspect of what we're doing, we provide intensive in-home-based counseling for children who are at risk of being removed from their families. And we also provide therapeutic foster homes for children who have been removed from their homes. The other thing we do is we also provide all the training for the PRIDE training that's required for therapeutic foster care families.
We're talking with Brooke Rogers and Paula Harmon from Lutheran Family Services of the Valley here on the Augusta Free Press show. And this is a topic that people don't like talking about a lot. We don't like to think in this day and age that there are needs out in the community, that there are children in need of permanent homes, foster care homes, and that kind of thing. Paula, you're a veteran there at Lutheran Family Services. Talk about just the populations that you work with every day.
Well, we work with a pretty diverse population. See a lot of children who come from homes where there's some substance abuse, there's some child abuse going on in those kind of homes. Sometimes they're lower income. But certainly, you know, abuse spans, you know, all economic areas. So, you know, we also work with middle class folks as well. Does that kind of answer what?
Yeah.
We work with kids who have been sexually abused. We work with children who have gotten into some trouble at school, like with truancy, or maybe hitting other children, having some aggressive types of behavior. We work with kids who are involved in the court system, who maybe have been caught shoplifting or doing other kinds of misdemeanors.
And you're also working with folks who are willing to work with children in these situations, too, in a variety of ways, opening up their lives, their homes in a lot of cases as well, to helping kids who are at risk. It takes special people to do that. Talk about that group of people that you also work with.
Well, our foster and adoptive parents really are special folks. They're folks who have decided that they want to help a child who doesn't have a home and to help them grow. Some people are more comfortable doing the really short-term stuff where a child might be removed from a family for a short period of time. And then other folks want to really adopt a child who has been in foster care. When Brooke mentioned the Waiting Child Grant, that's what that is. The state of Virginia has a grant that it gives to agencies like ours that would allow a person to adopt a child who's been in foster care, and there's no charge to that person. And adoption can be a really expensive thing, and I think some families discount that as an option, but if they adopt a child through the foster care system, then there's no fee if they go through an agency like mine.
That's Paula Harmer. We're also talking with Brooke Rogers from Lutheran Family Services in the Harrisonburg office. And Brooke, I said, of course, and we agree, these are special people, but I think sometimes people might disqualify themselves and say, well, I'm not sure if I qualify, if I would be a good foster parent or adoptive parent. And a lot of people who disqualify themselves in that way really would be. Talk about reaching out to the community to get the help that, you know, the numbers help, the number of people that we need to be involved in these kind of services. That's a difficult prospect, but it shouldn't be as difficult as it is, I guess.
So it'd be nice if it wasn't as difficult, wouldn't it? Because we have children that are in need of families who can provide the nurturing, who can also provide the guidance, which means, you know, setting limits. I'm sure there are many people here in the Valley that would make excellent therapeutic foster care families, and they're not aware of maybe their strength in doing this. And all it takes is a phone call, talk to myself, talk to Paula, and we can tell you specifically how we support you, nurture you as a therapeutic foster care family so that you have the success that this child needs in order to grow up to be a productive person and to realize their own full potential. You know, when it comes to foster care, ultimately what we want to do is reunite the child with their own biology. So what we, our end of the work involves training and assisting therapeutic foster care families in their job of helping this child. And then we have other agencies that are working with families, trying to help them become the parents that they really want to be to provide for their children. So the challenge, though, as you said, is finding people who want to be foster care parents. It's, I don't know what it is that that possibly scares people. It may be horror stories from other situations. It may be that they just haven't thought about that, you know, this is something we could do to help our community. So it is a challenge finding those people out there in the community that want to do this. We certainly don't have the number of families to meet the need. That's very clear.
I'll throw a good word in here. I grew up with an aunt who was very active in foster care, the foster care community. She still has great relationships with the children that came through her home during that time, and I can't tell a horror story. They were all good stories. So one good personal experience anyway.
Yeah. Well, I know there aren't any horror stories from foster care parents within the Lutheran Family Services Network. We provide a lot of services. We're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with those families. And when they place a phone call to us because they're in crisis with their child, we contact them within 15 minutes of the phone call. We are there to help them be successful in dealing with children who probably have some pretty difficult behaviors.
That's Brooke Rogers. We've also been talking with Paula Harmon from Lutheran Family Services. I want to get some information just for our listeners out there, website and phone numbers that they can call if they want more information about how to participate.
Well, we are Lutheran Family Services. Our Harrisonburg office is located at Muhlenberg Lutheran Church in Harrisonburg on East Market Street, and our telephone number is 437-1211. You can also look us up on the web. Just Google Lutheran Family Services of Virginia, and you'll find out about our entire organization.
Very good. We'll have information on our website, AugustaFreePress.com, so people who are listening maybe want to check it out on the web. Easy, quick link there to more information about Lutheran Family Services. Brooke, Paula, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Your portal into the Valley, the Augusta Free Press, www.augustafreepress.com. Looking for a convenient location for your office? Choose the Main Street building located in downtown Waynesboro. Office suites are available starting at $150 per month. Short-term leases are available. Call today for a tour. 943-9999. That's 540-943-9999. Save the date. Wanda and the White Boys are back, and they're performing November 2nd at a benefit for the Wayne Theater Alliance. Food, beverage, and of course, dancing. Tickets are on sale now. Reserve your ticket today by calling 540-943-9999. That's Wanda and the White Boys, November 2nd, to benefit the Wayne Theater Alliance. Your portal into the Valley, the Augusta Free Press, www.augustafreepress.com.
Joining us now on the Augusta Free Press Show is Brent Johnson. Brent is a Daily News Record staff writer, and he's been covering this controversy involving the Duke dog, and the latest is
apparently a few YouTube videos out there showing the incident. Brent, can we say this is over yet? I mean, the discussion's not over yet, but as far as the school's concerned, is this matter sort of closed now?
Well, the school told me they're done investigating that the student is no longer going to participate as the Duke Dog, be the mascot. So as far as the administration is concerned, they told me they're done. But I'm sure that they'll look into this whenever they go to hire another mascot and see whether this is a problem. I'm sure there'll be a lot of tension the next time any Duke Dog steps on the field or any other mascot walks over to the Jamie sideline. So this will be, it's kind of funny. The fact that this has gotten this out of hand is a little ludicrous, but, you know, very humorous. But I'm sure that the effects will be felt a little bit more. But as far as the school is concerned, yes, it's done.
As far as students are concerned, what do you think the reaction is? I saw, at least from the YouTube video, students were maybe a little upset that that they thought maybe that the Duke Dog had been treated wrong by the police, and no blame was put on the Chanticleer, the mascot for Coastal Carolina. Have you gotten any sense of the reaction there on campus?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of students are upset about this. Number one, the Duke Dog is a major symbol. It's a very popular mascot, and a lot of students witnessed it, obviously. It was right in front of the student section at Bridgeport Stadium, and a lot of the kids felt that the Chanticleer instigated it. Now, the school says it doesn't matter who instigated it. The fact that it got to that level is the problem, and that's what got students dismissed from being the mascot. But students are really outraged by this because they see that the Chanticleer attacked their Duke Dog, and that's why there have been two Facebook groups that are saying, support our Duke Dog and, you know, try and help him and give your voice out, and then all the YouTube videos. But students are very upset about this, at least the ones I spoke to.
We're talking with Brent Johnson here from the Daily News Record, covering the JMU sports and this silly but just cutting to some serious level incident involving the Duke Dog, the Chanticleer mascot at the JMU Coastal Carolina game on Saturday. As far as the university is concerned, you know, you mentioned this a little earlier. Maybe in the future they'll look at this kind of incident and maybe include that as part of training or part of their screening process or anything else. But do you have any indication that they're going to actually even review the current people? They say several people anonymously play the Duke Dog. Is there any concern about other people who are playing this character right now?
Well, I'm not sure. That's something we haven't addressed. In fact, I have a call out to the administration today to talk about such issues. But I think that there has to be some sort of worry. I mean, they didn't know this kid going into this would pull something like this. You know, anytime you put a mascot in there, or put a student in a mascot uniform and hope for them to go out there and represent your team, there has to be some sort of worry that student can do what it wants. But I'm sure JMU seems to have a very conservative view on things so I'm sure they'll be worried. I'm sure they'll review it. So I'm sure this is something that won't stop anytime soon. They will look into this.
We'll be following this story as any other further developments warrant. Thanks for your time, though, Brent.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Headlines from across the valley. The Morning Edition. Weekdays at AugustaFreePress.com. Get informed. The New Dominion and Augusta Free Press are sponsoring a 24th District Senate Forum. David Cox, Emmett Hanger, and Aaron Syme will debate the issues on October 22nd at 7 p.m. at Westwood Hills Elementary School in Waynesboro. For all the details, visit AugustaFreePress.com. The place to go to find local news and views. Our news and blogs link at AugustaFreePress.com.
He said, she said, every week here on the Augusta Free Press Show. And our topic this week is actually something I wrote a column about last week on AugustaFreePress.com. And it's something that Crystal actually witnessed. An incident at the Augusta County Recreation Center where I play pickup basketball. Actually, not pickup basketball. We play in a church league. It feels like pickup basketball, though. Before a game, Crystal and her mother were outside talking with a group of people, two or three people, actually, as it turns out. A security guard came by and advised the folks who they were talking with to break it up. And you have to note that the race of the people who were asked to break it up were white, and it seemed really odd to Crystal. And it still seems odd today, Crystal, that this kind of a thing even happened.
Right. I mean, I should mention that the people that were asked to disperse weren't white, they were black. Basically what happened was I was headed into a basketball game. These particular folks were from Woodrow Wilson Rehabilitation Center, actually. Since you wrote your column, I've learned one of them happened to be in a wheelchair. So it was three black individuals who happened to be coming out of their game. They played at 6:30. Your team played at 7:30. We were on our way in to cheer for your team. And, you know, basically this security guard came up and said, break it up or I'm going to call for backup. So basically telling them to disperse or else. What's interesting to note about that is nothing was said to me and my mother, who were also there and happened to be white, but the three other people just kind of stood there. They didn't say anything back. I think it was more like their jaws dropped because they were so surprised. They had just come out of this game and were actually talking to my mother and I, asking who was playing football in an adjoining field. You know, they were just curious. They were looking over there and watching. And it happened to be, I believe, the Wilson seniors that were out there practicing at the time. And it's just, to me, I've never been more furious. I went into the gym and it just, you know, I wish I had spoken up and said something at that moment, and I didn't. And, you know, through the Augusta Free Press, I guess we've had at least the opportunity to address it. But it's very frustrating for me because I had just been walking around the parking lot and ran into a couple of friends and were out there talking with them. And at no time during that period that we were out there talking were we asked to disperse for any reason. It happened to be right when the teams, meaning the Wilson football, there was some cheerleading going on, that kind of thing. All those practices were letting out because it was getting close to dusk. And, of course, that's as late as they can practice because there aren't lights out there or anything like that. And so there were tons of parents around. There were other people, I will note, other clusters of people sitting there talking, and they weren't accused of loitering and asked to move along. So, you know, it's an incident that just makes you furious.
Yeah, as well, here we are on the Augusta Free Press Show. He said, she said, talking about an incident I wrote about on Stop the Presses last week. You can actually go back in our archives. It's still on the front page, actually, where you can read the column and even comment. We've had a few comments posted on that particular column, because the thing I've tried to equate this to, or a lot of attention right now in the Gina 6 case, I think that's down in Louisiana, where a group of black high school students are facing disciplinary action. Even a couple of students are facing jail time for a racially motivated incident there that involved groups of white students and black students who'd been feuding over the use of a particular seating area in front of the school before school. You know how kids are. You want to sit somewhere. And you know, this has gotten a lot of national attention, including here in Virginia. A group from the University of Virginia, groups from other colleges and universities across the state have been sending representatives down to protest the activities down there. There's, I think, some court actions ongoing with that Gina 6 case. So I guess my point was to say this kind of thing happens here, too. And, you know, of course, you hear about it a lot in the news when it's an incident where there ends up being arrest or something like that. Even this week in Norfolk, videotape surfacing or of a beating involving some black teenagers who beat up a white skateboarder, and that's made some national news now too. But, you know, these kind of things happen, and it's not just somewhere else, it's also here.
Well, you know, this morning on the news, there's a lot of criticism out there for Bill O'Reilly with Fox News, who's basically made some comments on air that said, hey, you know, everything is okay. We're all kind of, we're not just, you know, race-oriented. We're not being led by the Al Sharptons of the world anymore or anything like that, that people are out there thinking for themselves. You have to think about an event like this when Bill O'Reilly is out there spouting that we're all one, we're all the same now. And then on this page, clearly it's shown that, you know, here in the Shenandoah Valley, at least as one example, you know, here's a security guard who clearly targeted the black people who happened to be standing there instead of the white people who had just wrapped up a conversation with those very said folks. I mean, it's just really unfortunate that in this day and age that those kinds of things still happen.
Yeah, you want to think it's 2007, American society has advanced. Certainly the civil rights movement was 40-plus years ago, 50 years ago when it started. And you'd like to think that we've come well beyond that point right now in life, but we haven't. And so, once again, that's a column on Stop the Presses from last week. You can read the column. You can comment. We'd love to get your comments on this. A lot of comments really from across the spectrum on this story thus far. And well, we'll be right back. Coming up next is our morning edition.
Links to Valley attractions, dining options, government and politics links, and more. You'll see. Check it out. AugustaFreePress.com.
University of Virginia basketball has moved across the street, but U-Haul lore lives on. Mad About You, 4 decades of basketball at University Hall, an inside look at UVA basketball. More information at madaboutyou.net. Madaboutyou.net. Get your copy today.
Headlines from across the valley. The Morning Edition, weekdays at AugustaFreePress.com.
Here we are in the Morning Edition, Crystal. Every weekday morning on AugustaFreePress.com, we post links to stories from newspapers from across the valley in Central Virginia. Things making news, and there's always a lot making news that is of interest. And first thing, I'll just our backyard. We're right here in Waynesboro. That's where we're based. It's downtown Waynesboro. It's funny, Crystal. You mentioned the other day we were watching a Sonic commercial on the TV. You said, "I'd love for Sonic to come to Waynesboro." And I think I might have said something to the effect of, "Well, keep dreaming." Well, your dreams are coming true. It looks like Sonic in the next month or so might be opening up a location in the west end of town.
So do I need to start saying I wish there was an Olive Garden in town? Last night I went to Billionaire in Training. It was an event in Northern Virginia up near Dulles Airport. And the interesting thing about that was on the way back, we were going to stop at Olive Garden of all places because there happens to be one right there in Manassas. And I was chatting with some people in the car and we said, uh-oh, we better not go to Olive Garden because our spouses would be really, really, really mad. So if I've got the magic and I can say, hey, I wish a Sonic was here, then can I say I wish there was an Olive Garden coming?
I don't think you have magic. I think more of the case that you just got lucky is what you got there. So we'll consider that good luck. Headline out of the Daily News Record today, actually, about cockfighting. You know, there was a case last week, federal authorities charging 4 people in Page County with a running an illegal cockfighting operation. But the story notes that cockfighting in and of itself isn't illegal in Virginia. It's only when there's blood involved, when you put those little, I don't even know what to call them, those little knives that they use, you know, to try to make the birds fight each other more. It's when you gamble. Those activities associated with cockfighting are illegal. But if you just did it, like, say, you know, amateur, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, that itself wouldn't be illegal, and maybe that's something we need to address in state law.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's something that needs to be addressed. I think, you know, what's interesting about this is that maybe before where things like this happened in Virginia kind of behind the scenes, now that this Michael Vick case has come out with dog fighting, you know, I think people are more prone to kind of turn people in, you know, for cockfighting and dog fighting because they know that there are severe penalties. And in the case of cockfighting, perhaps there need to be more severe penalties because I meant that's animal cruelty just like dog fighting is. Maybe people don't think about, you know, poultry quite the same way that they think about dogs, but it's still the case. You know, I don't go anywhere anymore without thinking about what's going on. I was out in Cremora. There's a village market out in Cremora where we live, and I happened to hear a bunch of dogs barking in the distance, and they were off kind of in a wooded area. And the first thing that came to my mind was, wonder if anything's going on there. And I imagine that this case, this Michael Vick case in particular, has brought awareness to a lot more people.
Indeed. Next bit, state climatologist Patrick Michaels. It turns out he quietly resigned his post over the summer, and according to a story in the Daily Progress, he cites political pressure. Of course, Patrick Michael, known for years for his, detractors will call him a global warming denier. He's been very outspoken on his thoughts that global warming is something that's it's not a phenomenon that it seems like most of the scientific community has embraced. The pressure has come over the years because he takes significant money for his funding of his operations from utility companies and others who would seem to have a vested interest in proving that there wouldn't be any kind of global warming ongoing so that they can continue their operations. But Patrick Michael, he had also worked at the University of Virginia. Of course, that's where his state climatology office was based, is based. There's still a climatology office there at the University of Virginia. But he quietly resigned. Apparently, the Progress picked up on the fact that he wasn't the state climatologist anymore and asked the question, and he had apparently resigned over the summer. So it's been some time between this and that. It's interesting just to see this come up. I've always wondered about that, about the pressures that he had to face politically because of his views, or depending, you know, if you're, again, a detractor, you'd say that he has a reason for holding those views.
Yeah, you know, you think of somebody working in a climatology office and think that they're going to talk more about the changing leaves and things like that, you know, things I know you call them about for stories. So quite a surprise that he left. Any idea where he's at now?
Well, he has been affiliated with the Cato Institute, the libertarian think tank in Washington, D.C. you want to say, you know, if you're a liberal Democrat, you want to say that they're conservative Republicans, but libertarians actually, this group actually is down the middle on, you know, we don't want to spend money and we don't want to have other things going on with government activities too much. And he's been working with that institute for some time. So he apparently is still staying on. He negotiated some sort of a settlement, you know, all the details out there with the university. He's still staying on as an adjunct professor, I believe, and but he's on leave, and I think that leave will be permanent. So, but yeah, he still continues on. He still continues on his research, and I have to say, I don't know that it's that big of a loss for Virginia, University of Virginia. I guess it seems to me quite obvious that not being a scientist, that global warming is something that's a phenomenon. It is a proven phenomenon, and for someone to insist that it's not, and being in the position he was in, maybe it's best for all parties that he can go on for his academic freedom and also for the university's stance on the issue. One more quick thing, and we'll get out of here on this morning edition. A paperwork snafu leads to an extra month in jail for a Charlottesville woman. Apparently, she had been up for indictment by the grand jury last month. The grand jury decided not to issue an indictment, and paperwork issues. It wasn't even made aware to her lawyers that the indictment wasn't returned until late last week, and they couldn't arrange a hearing with a judge until yesterday. So really interesting to hear that. Obviously some issues there with the Commonwealth Attorney's Office and Circuit Clerk Office in Charlottesville for this kind of thing to go on. It's just atrocious that this kind of thing goes on.
It's atrocious. I hope that they learn from it and this kind of thing doesn't happen again. You know, you hear about these kinds of things and you think, oh my gosh, how could this happen? You know, I don't know. I would certainly hate to spend an extra month in jail as a result of a paperwork snafu, and I certainly would think she might be entitled to some kind of reward for that month that she's been given up.
You like to think that, definitely. There's some serious questions need to be asked of those offices there for their failure to even identify this this issue upcoming. Once again, morning edition, every weekday morning on the Augusta Free Press, AugustaFreePress.com. Headlines from stories, papers across the region here. Lots of interest there, of course, as always. We try to kind of make it easy for you. You don't have to go read them all. We read them all for you and tell you the highlights. I want to mention quickly a couple of top stories we're working on for our Thursday, Friday editions of AugustaFreePress.com. We're going to do a preview of the grand opening of the Waynesboro Heritage Museum in downtown Waynesboro, just down the street from our offices here. Lots of work, $1 million of work on that Heritage Museum. It looks fabulous. We were able to take a tour last week. It looks great. So we'll have some more in-depth on that, also in-depth this week. You heard the interview with Emmett Hanger earlier in the show. We've talked with all three candidates in the 24th race, also talked with political observers across the spectrum, and we'll have an in-depth profile of that race for you this week on AugustaFreePress.com. Well, thanks for all your attention today and listening in, and we'll be back next week.
We'll see you then.
The Augusta Free Press Show is a production of Augusta Free Press Publishing, all rights reserved. For more on the Augusta Free Press, check out our website, AugustaFreePress.com. That's AugustaFreePress.com.
Want a hard copy of this week's show? CDs are available for $9.99. Email us at augfreepress@comcast.net to order yours. That's augfreepress@comcast.net.